This is the Rush Hour Podcast. Sell your car the right way without the aggro. See how at sellmycar.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Just give us some feedback.
Put moron number two on the phone.
No, don't give us honest feedback.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, again, we've got a split studio. Richard Marsland, South Melbourne style, Leroy and myself holding up the fort. Yeah. Down there at Simmons Stadium's old Fat Brownless.
Yes, Jimmy, oh, it's magnificent again, let me tell
you. I don't think
so.
I don't think it's any different to when you were down there last time. Anyway, Damien Barrett's going to be joining us. We can't wait for that because he couldn't be here last night, midweek rub style. But in tonight, after some nice breaking news on the footy show last night, so we need to know what Damo's all about, Nakia Cockatoo. Ooh. Down there with you, Willis.
Yes, indeed. Don't worry about that. And that's his name, Jim.
Thank you. What are you saying? It's not Kakatu.
No, Kakatu or Nakika or whatever he was called. So he'll join us, mate, and he's a good young lad. Of course, Indigenous round this weekend.
Nice. And I see old topics. And all I suggest to you, if you're listening, and of course millions do, not only in your car and at the office and at home and out the back in the garage, wherever you are listening, I'd be sticking around for about... around about 4:30, because my great mate, the Fat Man, is coming with something. I don't believe he'll do it, actually. This is what I'm saying off the top. I don't believe in half an hour, by then you'll have thought the better of it.
Jim, this is where I've grown, and I will be very mature with this one.
Anyway, hello to you, Bill.
Oh, g'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, a listener, and g'day, you, Leroy.
Man, I'm hungry as shit.
See, you shouldn't be saying that either, Leroy. I'm not happy with that.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I just eat.
Jimmy boy, that's your man. What's his name?
Oh, Kevin Hart. I'm telling you, it's golden. Keep going.
Anthony McDonald.
Tip and Woody,
thank you. Yes, I interviewed him last night, Jim. Tell you what, a lovely kid, beautiful boy, but quiet, very, very quiet. And had him and Woosha, of course, they had the new sponsorship there, Fujitsu.
Fujitsu, renewal of the sponsorship,
Renewal, and guess who I had a couple of frothies with after?
Not the man who looks very similar to yourself.
Yeah, the tubby one, Jim. Tubby Taylor, he's a very, very good boy.
Hasn't
and we sat down,
had
a couple
of... his snout in that Fujitsu trough.
Oh, has he? What?
Oh, crikey.
So he was only allowed to say four words on the cross last night, Jim.
Yes.
Fujitsu, Australia's favourite air. That was it, righto. Out, out.
I know. It's
I tell you what, I did have a chat to him about the cricket. Oh, that's all shaping up, Jim. That is getting very, very interesting.
Oh, yes.
Because he's on the board of Australia. So is Mark Waugh. He did say that last night. And the players are bloody having a big crack at it too. So stand by, Jim. That's getting very interesting there with the cricketers.
I don't like where it's headed, to be honest. I think that there's sensible behaviour that can follow those discussions. But anyway.
So we got to go. Oh, hang on. There's a fire alarm here.
Oh, what, Bill?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's going beautifully.
We
got to
go.
Look at him.
Is that true?
Look at this. This is the greatest.
Mate, this is true.
This
we got
is the
fire.
Greatest stand of all time, the greatest venue of all time,
a
place that's never had an issue as long as it's been built.
I've got to go, Jim.
90 million. Look at him.
There's security everywhere.
Look at this halfwit.
I've got to go. I'll come back in a minute. Sorry.
Can you believe what we're dealing with?
No, mate, it's Todd from Bowen Head. Simmons is shit out.
He's had to down tools and walk out. They've got a fire alarm. The new stand at Simmons Stadium. Can you believe that? I'm looking at an empty screen, Leroy. Hey, by the way, I'm reading here. This is while Fat gets himself sorted down there. That Joe Ingles and the other Australian point guard who plays for San Antonio, Millsy, are both looking at $93 million contracts over the next 4 years, I'm reading here. Can you believe that?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
They're both free agents, and they're looking at cashing into the point where they're going to get $90 million each. What? This has just been handed to me. Now, we did have Chris Golding in not long ago, who did tell us that certainly Joe Ingles was coming hard at a massive deal, but 90 mil for Mills and Ingles in the coming deals. Now, they haven't been signed yet, of course, but that's what's being speculated.
Huge dollars.
In the state. $90 million bucks. Bloody hell. Anyway, Damien Barrett, I can see him through the glass. He's about to join us.
James Brayshaw. Evacuations Brownless not with us, James.
The fire engines have arrived at Simmons Stadium, the $90 million stand. Now, we don't know if this is serious or not. We're having a giggle here in South Melbourne, but I'm looking at the screen and there's no sign of that. And apparently the whole stand has been evacuated. Fire engines, as I say, have arrived, so we only hope that that's a false alarm, because not only have they spent $90 million on the joint, but they've also got a game of footy starting there in 3 or 4 hours. Hello to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. And that happened last week when the stadium was christened on the Friday night.
Oh, did
they? They had a fire situation of some sort that required fire trucks and people to be moved in a part of the ground. Yeah. So I'm not fully believing Bill's
good
at the moment.
Oh,
I wouldn't be surprised if he's just gone back to the Cremorne or something.
Hey, you're in rare news breaking form. Last night you spoke about Nick Riewoldt not playing this week so that he gets the double break with the bye, yes?
Yeah, the knee injury, Jim, as we know, that flared up again in round one this year, and while it wasn't exactly linked to what he's had troubles with in the past, it is still a knee issue for Nick Riewoldt, and he's going to get some time off. And then what happens between the bye next weekend and the game after that is still yet to be determined, the way I read it too. So it's going to be an extended break of some sort.
Our own Nath Brown, who is obviously in business with Nick Riewoldt as well as being one of his best mates, has told us, I think a couple of times on the Saturday rubs, that he's having more fluid taken out at this time of year than he has for the previous two.
Right.
So obviously he's having more issue with that knee than maybe at this same stage of the last two seasons. So what you're saying makes a lot of sense. You hope in that 2 week time he can get it back under control.
That's the hope. And then the big picture will look after itself too, won't it, from what he does beyond this season.
Yep.
And we know that he wants to go on, but the club is within its rights to, I think, look at what's going on right now and to then make the determination once he gets back.
Yeah,
but there's no thought he's going to be missing any great chunk of time, but outside the 2, possibly 3 weeks without football.
Yep.
But again, he obviously needs to get back in the team. And look, I think his form has been quite good, really.
Oh, no doubt. The last couple of weeks, you can just see the turning circles widened, I reckon.
Right. And you've caught him, I think, the past two.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
And he's been absolutely fine in both games.
Yep.
There's been no issue. But you just look at it, and a couple of times, I think, again, Nath probably pointed out, that it just takes that bit longer for him to get around because, you know, he's had this debilitative, you know, knee issue for best part of a decade. But I think clubs are, well, I can only speak for the one I was involved in, but I think across the board, Purple, clubs are very clear with, you know, veteran players that, you know, we just need to see the full season's body of work.
Mm.
By the end of the year, if you're still going as well as you are now, and we think there's a spot for you next year, well, you know, the contract will be there. And if we don't, there won't.
Yeah.
And I reckon as a mature age footballer, you know the landscape with that. You can't really do any complaining.
Well, you say that, but you lived it last year, didn't you, with what happened at North with Brent Harvey, who, while he was 38, didn't see the end coming. Nick Riewoldt, right now, at 34, going on 35, doesn't see the end coming. And I admire that about the athlete, Jim. I know
you've always
made the view too, and I love having the conversation with you because you've used the cricket context. You know when the time's up.
Yep.
I mean, you've said that yourself in the past and you've said others do. But I love the fight within the older guys and the want to keep going. But what they don't then do is balance it rationally and neutrally up against what the club thinks is the right thing.
Well, the thing I always say with cricket, because it's the game I was obviously involved in, is if you don't retire, then you leave your career in the hands of the selectors.
Yep.
And you cannot grizzle when the selectors say, tap you on the shoulder and go, we've got someone else we want to pick.
Yep.
Because you haven't retired.
Yep.
So, you know, there have been lots of cases down the years, you know, Ian Healy replaced by Adam Gilchrist, all of those famous ones. And, you know, they're both great mates of mine. But I said at the time, because Heels didn't retire, he left the decision to the selectors. And they chose to go with Adam Gilchrist. And at that time, you can't complain. And I don't think Heels did, by the way. Mm. So I say the same about footballers. If you don't do what Matty Scarlett did and say, right, I've had enough, then you leave the end of your career up to the match committee and the coach. And when they say, mate, your time's up, you really can't grizzle, I don't reckon.
No, I think that, again, you can say that though, can't you, as an outsider looking in, when you're the person who's making or being forced to make that decision, when he doesn't want to make it. And clearly he doesn't in Nick Riewoldt's case. Clearly Brent Harvey didn't. But again, the club, as we discussed last year with North and clearly are now with St Kilda, they've got every right to do whatever it is they want to do.
It's always bigger than any individual. individual playing there, no doubt. Stewie Cremery?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Jim. The club itself has today conceded that he won't be playing at all in 2017
really?
With the hip injury that he got in a VFL game a couple of weeks ago. And he's had surgery on it. They've said it's successful, but in saying it's successful, he's not playing in 2017. Mm. So they've committed to him for 2018. But it's unfortunate, and he's got a few things going on. As we know, he missed the grand final last year with the ban.
Yeah, the ban, yep.
We know that he got back into the team in round one and then was out of it. And we also know there's a police issue involved in a gambling matter that the AFL dealt with, not with him specifically. They dealt with Jake Melksham, but he was also implicated in it. And we've had police tell us on the Footy Show that they are investigating he and a person known to him over bets placed on Greyhound Matters. Now, that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, but he's had a fair bit of adverse attention with which to deal.
You also wonder where he fits going forward. With I mean, they're already going to squeeze, by the sound of it, Cloak out, or one of the big blokes out of this team for the weekend.
And we'll know soon, won't we, with the teams in about 2 hours from now, but that is the talk that Cloak will be at.
So you then go, well, okay, how does Cremery fit in with what they've already got forward of the ball with Redpath, of course, with Boyd, you know? So I know Stringer's a slightly different player, but they have got an embarrassment of riches in that part of the ground, so not a good time to have your season ended. Tell us about, speaking of big forwards,
Josh.
That's his old man, Lawrence Shackey. I know that from my SNFL covering days. Josh Shackey, what's happening there?
Now, as we speak in Seymour with family, interestingly timed, so he's got this week off, and then the bye falls for both the NEAFL team with the Lions and also the AFL team, and he wouldn't be back in the AFL team given he only got 4 touches last week in the reserves system. So it's look, the club's at pains to say it's got nothing to do with the unknown about his future, but it's got, Jim, everything to do with that. He has not fired a shot this year. He clearly is not dealing with the situation. Yep. And while people around him keep saying it's, you know, that's not affecting what's going on, it is. And the fact that we're now around 9 and he doesn't still want to talk about a future with the club he's at, we know how this plays out from here, don't
we? So how does, like, because I'm hearing, and I'm guessing you are too, that Melbourne clubs are into him.
Yeah, massively.
Deluxe.
Massively.
How does it work? Because they've got a trade for him to get him, you know, back here or over here. How do you do that with a bloke who's displayed this little in his playing time, though he's a number one draft pick?
Yep. Now, the management, and I'll say this on the record, Jim, is denying what I'm about to say, but I'll just tell you what other clubs are saying, and that is that the management went out and sought commitments from footy clubs 5 years at $700,000. Mm. They haven't had takers anywhere near that rate, and it's cooling by the minute in terms of what clubs are prepared to offer. You know the way it also works. Come the end of the year, when it's official, if indeed it plays out the way we expect it to, that he's available, there's going to be a frenzy for him. And the figure will go back up, even though he hasn't got the form on the board. But right now, there's not a significant enough offer for him to properly get his head around either.
And Brisbane are going to say, well, we want first round this week, this year and next year. Yep. You know, and
because we took him at number 2.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So it's going to be a bit of a bun fight. Oh, hello.
Hey.
Have we got... have a look at him.
Don't come back. I've just had to walk up the stairs.
Oh, no. Well, you just catch your breath there, Fat, because we know you had to evacuate due to a fire drill. Second week in a row, I'm hearing. So we'll get to you in the next break. Quickly, Jager O'Meara.
Yeah, again, Jim, they keep the Hawthorn Footy Club saying that everything's okay, but he's now going to be not back until round 13 at the earliest. There's a bye between now and then as well, you factor in, but has not unfolded the way they wanted it to. And speaking of clubs being defensive about injuries to key players, that is the case with the Hawks and the knee injury to Jacob.
They're not happy talking about it?
Oh, no, but everything's okay. But they just ask him. But he's now missed a lot of footy for a bloke who was okay.
All right, Carlton, St Kilda, the melee. We might have finally got a result out of that. My nephew, we want to talk about. I see he was back on the track today. You'll find out more about that. And also what happened, the coverage of Liverpool and Sydney FC last night. By crikey. That puts us in the shade purple.
Damien Barrett's in the studio with us.
Oh, nice to have Fat back.
Good on you, Jim. Lovely to be back here. Damo, I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if there is an alarm like that during a game? Everyone gets evacuated, as we did then. Does the game go on?
They'd ensure, as best they could, Bill, that the game would continue, the AFL. They've got ways of circumnavigating the requirements that others have to abide by, but they would make sure it went on. Provided everyone was going to be safe, Bill, like you clearly were then.
Except you have to walk up the stairs and down the stairs. It's a lot of stairs.
Yeah, it sounds like
what's
it.
Going on down there, Bill? I know there's lights and whatnot, but they've got fire alarms going off as regularly as the lights seem to go on.
Well, I think because they're brand new and they're very good that they go off
That'd be the reason.
So brand new, Damo, and just something switches a mount. No, it wouldn't be a mouse because there'd be none here, of course. But something switches them and away they go.
Whenever I read the sentence "train wreck television," I presume they're talking about me and Bill.
Yeah, so did I, Jim.
But on this occasion, they're not.
Yeah,
they're talking
here,
about
though?
The ABC2's coverage of Liverpool and Sydney FC.
Oh, what happened? What
apparently,
did happen?
It's the worst. I'm reading here because I didn't obviously see a second of it. Some fans have described it as the worst in the history of television.
Oh, no.
What the hell are we dealing with?
Have they seen some of your work, Bill?
Yeah. What about the interview with Tipper last night?
I clearly haven't seen some of your Sunday footy show stuff after you've had a decent night at the Cremorne.
So who was it again, Damo, please?
It was Jules Schiller and Tegan Higginbotham. I'm like Jim, I haven't seen we were doing our show, Bill, as you well know, but got home last night and there was a what storm going on, Jim, about the coverage.
Oh, and the FFA have responded. We're here.
They've basically apologised for what was put to air before, during, in the half time break and post. But
it was trending. It was viral. It was trending. And here's a little bit of the commentary.
Come on, Sydney FC.
Well, a player like Ninkovic could almost end up in the Premier League. He's that good, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's not playing tonight, unfortunately.
Oh, so
he's not playing.
I'm just happy prepared. I am for this. In fact, I've got Arnie's number. Do you want me just to?
Oh, it's ringing.
It's ringing. I'm hearing it ringing.
Arnie!
Hello, it's Jules.
Yes, Arnie, how are you going?
Mate, we're just about to go on the pitch. I'm going to have to go, mate.
He's on the pitch.
Okay. Oh, you're on the pitch. Oh, really? Hi, we're up here. Can you see us? We're right at the top.
So it's been all a game of possession so far. What's your favourite possession?
Position or possession?
Well, let me just say I've just been possessed by the spirit of football. I love it.
Bill, as I said, let me tell you, we're gold Logie winners.
No, when it comes to train wreck television, Bill, we wrote the book. But I see here, if like many fans, disappointed with some aspects of the broadcast.
Some aspects.
Yeah, anyway, we'll leave that to that particular game because we're obviously a little bit more focused on our own. Yes. There was a massive blue in the Carlton-Sydney game, St Kilda. Which, of course, Damo followed what we all knew was happening verbally out in that game around Mark Murphy. Have we got a result as to what the AFL have done with that melee?
Look, it was Agent Chaos, was it, on Monday, who posed the question on the Triple M Footy social media platforms. What's happened with that? Well, we can tell you now, and we said last night, Jim, that $10,000 has been hit up for Carlton and also St Kilda. And if they choose to distribute that fine individually, they can do so, but I don't expect them to. I think they'll just cop it and absorb it as a club, given that the controversy around it wasn't so much the melee itself, but the words being exchanged. The North copped a $5,000 fine too on the same weekend for what they did against Sydney Swans, and so too to the Swans. So
fair enough.
Bit of a crackdown there, but it did take them a while to get around it. They had 7 days to respond to the AFL initial inquiry about it.
I read here on AAP, Melbourne young gun Angus Brayshaw back on the training track after his latest concussion setback.
Still feel he's going to be out, Jim, for probably every bit of 6 to quite possibly 8 weekends when it comes to playing the game. And I think it's good that he's back on the training track. He needs to keep fit and needs to keep occupied.
There wouldn't have been any contact in that, I wouldn't have thought.
What can you tell us, Jim, without divulging the confidences?
I don't know anything more than what you've just said. My suspicion is, because the bye's in there somewhere, that there'll be about 4 to 5 week absence from
playing,
playing
and contact.
And contact, I suspect.
Training.
And then I reckon they'll come back and have another look at it and say, right, are we all comfortable that, you know, neurologists and all the people that get involved, are we all confident that this is now time to renew contact and start again? My absolute understanding is if the answer to that's no, we won't.
Is that a no we won't for this year, or no we won't ever again?
No, not ever again, but we won't put him back into contact until he's absolutely ready. And so I reckon they'll give it 5 weeks to, you know, then have that discussion.
You know what the problem is? No one actually knows, do they?
That is the hard bit. And they keep talking about repeat concussions being as dangerous as they are. So every bit of caution needs to be used. And, none of us want to see the NFL situation spilling into our game.
Nah.
Hey, Damo, how's Sam? Everything all right after the show last night?
Yeah, well, I wasn't aware of what happened the previous week, Bill, because I took off early that night too. But, a little bit went on post-show 2 weeks ago. But,
the old enforcer.
What did happen, Bill?
Oh, well, I think there was just a misunderstanding.
Sam has spoken about it now publicly, so it's okay, Bill.
Yep. So, oh, all right. Well, Croft tripped him. And,
misunderstanding.
No, he was having a shot at the
this is a bloke who normally bloats everything he hears, but, yeah, trying to keep it quiet.
Sam was having a shot at the handball target as the show finished. Everyone saying goodbye. Beck was wrapping it up, and Shane just clipped him on the ankle, a little ankle tap. Sam's legs went in the air, and he landed on his back after he just got out of hospital. Was not happy at all.
Not happy.
Feared he had broken his wrist.
Feared that he'd broken his wrist.
Might have chipped it.
Yeah, so still whinging last night, I see. But no, it wasn't great, I think, at the time. Because we do forget he's 72 or 73.
Forgets he's 73. That's exactly what happens. But he can drag an injury. There's no doubt about that. Purple, when are we seeing you? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night in Sydney with the Friday Huddle crew. Jim, going very nicely, I think.
Beautifully. And then
back
Saturday,
with you on Saturday for a third Saturday of St Kilda match.
I know. Amazing. And Bristol's Vault is just extraordinary.
There's not enough people around town who want to talk about it, Jim. Everywhere you go, that's all they want to talk about.
It has captivated Melbourne, Bristol's Vault. It has to be heard to be believed, and you'll hear it again midday Saturday. Thanks very much for that. Good to see you.
Cheers, boys.
Social media feedback we need, Leroy. Of course, we've got a great Triple M merchandise pack to give away. How do people give us their feedback on how the show's going?
It's coming through thick and fast today.
Yes, it is.
Lighting up Twitter, dare I say, JB.
How do they do it, please?
Triple M Rush Hour. Search for us on Twitter and Facebook.
All right, so what we're going to do, I did promise that Bill was going to go with something at about 4:30, but A, we've had an evacuation from Simmons Stadium, which meant we had to hang on to Damo a little bit longer than he wanted to. So we've just pushed the clock out a little. So what Bill wasn't going to go with at 4:30... he's now not going to go with it 5:10.
But yes,
we can. No, you're not, Bill. I hope when you ran down the stairs, you thought the better of it.
No, I nearly needed to go, actually.
Oh!
But, I'm working on it, and I'm wording it perfectly, Jim.
I don't think you'll be doing it. That's what I don't think. But anyway, that's for 5:10, but I suggest you don't leave wherever you are listening to the Rush Hour, because if he does go with it, it'll be some of the more extraordinary stuff you've ever heard.
As long as there's not another fire alarm, Jim.
Yeah, or Bill. We need to get to a song, because there's some feedback that's come in, Bill, that we need to address next. It's lit up. Not only Simmons Stadium, but also the social media feedback.
Hey, Jim.
Yep.
I'm just on TV. I'm watching myself here. They've got the cameras downstairs when we got evacuated. Oh,
look at you.
Look at me.
You are a fool's head. Now,
look at fool's head.
Here we've got some
of them.
He's
on bull.
Oh, really? Some of the feedback we've got. Peter Jager says, Fire's just done 20K's worth of improvements. Sean Pascoe. Just turn the alarm off and let it burn.
Oh, good one, Sean, you dick.
Benny Rothberg must have walked into the building. Paddy Dangerfield 35, in other words, the danger. Must have walked into the building, still on fire from last week's game.
Yes.
Bang!
Like it.
And then from Facebook, Maddie Ward, has Billy's pie warmer caught fire?
Maddie!
What else have we got, please,
I like
Leroy?
This one. Ash Harvey off Twitter says, the show is off the rails already thanks to old mate having a dart in the stairs at Simmons Stadium, Bill.
The great, in fact, George Grilicic, who you may even remember, Bill.
Yeah, from Perth.
One of the great media sort of presenters and commentators in the sporting sphere in Perth for years, 60s, 70s, 80s. He actually commentated cricket at the Wacker, had a dart, it slipped off the desk, went down through the cracks in the floorboards, and the stand went on fire during a Shield game of cricket.
Oh, no.
If you can believe that. But I tell you, I've padded a little bit because I knew there was a call coming through from, I think it's Edgewater, Warren's out there. Hello, Waz.
Now, guess who, Bill? It's Todd from Bowen Head. Simmons is shit.
Oh, Todd. Jim.
I told you, Bill.
Get stuff, Todd. Feeding him. I'm going to get hold of him. Oh, Jim, don't.
Turn the joint down.
Oh, shut up.
Bill, Feeticum, Jim. It came through as Warren from Edgewater. I had no idea it was Todd.
Well, his number would be the same,
no,
so you've got to ban him.
No, saying the number. It just said Warren.
Oh, feeding him, Todd. I'm going down to Bowen Head. I'm going to drive around there tonight. I'm going to find him. Fair dinkum, what a flog. Mate,
anyway. I'll tell you what he's got, Todd, is a cult following now, Bill.
He has.
He's got a cult following.
No, he hasn't.
The Rush Hour family have got right around him.
Oh, surely not.
Oh, no worries.
The flog.
I love how he's now disguising himself as other people.
Yeah. Warren.
All right, so what we did is started the show, then we had Damien Barrett come in, thankfully, because Bill had to evacuate Simmons Stadium, the brand new $90 million stand, because there was a fire alarm for the second week in a row. I didn't realise there was one last week as well.
I think Damo's making that up.
No, apparently there was one last week. We've had another one this week, and you just had to take off for 20 minutes.
and had to walk down the stairs and then walk back up them, Jim. Because you're not allowed to take a lift.
No, apparently. Anyway, so the merchandise pack, of course, that Loose Wheels and Jen put together, which is absolutely sensational. And they have they come for it. Have a listen to some of this. All right, let's get first to Glenn Disher at Max Dangerous. Todd from Bowen Heads, last spotted at Simmons Stadium alarm panel. I like that. It's a hard one to pick the number one. Josh Roberts says at Triple M Rush Hour, how's Bill watching himself on TV? Did Simmons Stadium get an IMAX camera?
I was on TV, Jim.
Apparently.
I was. I saw myself.
Dylan says, stuff the best tweet or FB post. In other words, feedback post. Facebook. Just give Facebook. Sorry, yeah. Just give the Triple M pack to Todd from Bowen Heads. He's earned it. Hashtag sucked in fat.
I'm going to grab that little keyboard warrior tell you, or whatever he is.
I already love him.
Another similar one. JB is Dean. Ha ha ha! Tell you what, I absolutely love Simmons Stadiums, but Todd from Bowen Heads is a cracker. Hashtag
no,
Todd versus fat.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Greg says, get Todd or Warren or whatever the hell his name is to do the jokes from now on instead of Fireman Bill. Yes. But only it can only be one winner, Bill. And Brad Collins, Sol Bradford, takes the cake for me. Can we have a fire alarm at 5:50 so we don't have to listen to Bill Massacre another time?
Oh, I might have an Indian or Irish joke tonight, Jimmy boy, to be sure.
So well done, Bruddle 73. Well done. You are the winner, and very, very nice feedback coming at us right there. Now,
and
Bill.
There's going to be a shooting in Bowen Heads tonight. Oh. A drive-by shooting out the front of Todd's house.
Oh, no. Now, we've got the news coming up. And then a couple of bits of nice information for the family.
Yes, and then I've got a topic,
Jim. Well, Bill,
Jim,
I just want to know that you're going to do this properly.
I want to know if you're mature enough.
No, you.
Me? Of course I am. I've grown, Jim.
I don't think you'll do it.
I've grown, and I'm going with my topic.
I don't think you'll do it. You need to stay listening, everyone, about 5:10. I don't think you've got the minerals to do it. Oh, of course we feel good. Footy tonight. Cats take on Port Adelaide down there at Simmons Stadium. And speaking of the Cats, big boy.
Yeah.
I read here where Greater West Sydney coach Leon Cameron has admitted that his choice to play veterans forward Steve Johnson in last week's win over Richmond backfired.
Yes.
He says, I'm quoting him here, we rolled the dice with him last week, even though we probably shouldn't have played. The knee's getting pretty bad at the moment. There's no doubt we probably pushed it a bit too far with him. If we had a couple of guys that were ready to play AFL footy, we'd maybe gone down a different path. So he's talking about how bad their injury list is. But the knee's restricting him a little bit. Hopefully he can get it right over the next 14 days.
Yeah, that's right, Jim. And I saw him today and he's limping around. The knee's no good. Stevie has come down for the reunion course.
Yes.
Thank you to our 2007 Premiership stars. Is all up around the fence here. Mm-hmm. And it's their reunion tonight. They've got all players coming except
down at
Gary.
The Cremorne.
Well, there's a few down there. Tommy Harley was down there.
Oh, nice.
Little Stoker. He's a great little fella, Matty Stokes. Of course, Tom Lonigan come in because he heard there was a free feed on.
Yes,
so,
big Dom's.
And then he took off. But Stevie was limping around, so he probably won't play, obviously won't play this week because they do fly to Perth anyway.
Yep.
And then next week they play Essendon at home. He might miss that one. I think they got the bye. So it gives him 3 weeks.
Yes.
To get it right because it's not too good at the minute.
Hey, tell us of that magnificent premiership team of 2007. Who was just at the end and then has hardly been seen since? Is there anyone who you don't see a lot of around Geelong who's coming back for it?
Josh Hunt.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen Joshy Hunt for a long, long time, of course. Maxie Rook.
Oh, Max Rook.
He was around for a while, of course, but haven't seen rookie. Stephen King's up in Melbourne now.
Yep.
Stoker's up in Melbourne. Nathan Ablett, he was in China and he's gone everywhere. So I think they'll be happy to catch him. And, of course, Bomber's down tonight. Big guy.
Oh, nice, the coach.
Yeah, the coach, Bomber Thompson, who he'll
the
he'll
big hairy cat.
The big hairy cat will be there, of course. Darren Milburn, Scarlo.
Dasher, yep.
Couple of players still playing, Andrew Mackey, of course, and Shannon Burns, he's a good little fella, Shagger, he'll be down tonight. Cameron Ling, Ling-a-ding-ding-ding.
Joel Selwood played in that game.
In that game, yeah. So there's a couple of boys. Yeah, exactly. So should be a good night. It's pretty quiet sort of a event, I would have thought, with everyone. You know,
why are they doing it now, please?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they play Port Adelaide, that's who they beat in 2007.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, and it's 10 years ago. But
It's not a real big night, I wouldn't have thought. It's just one night at the footy here, and then they all go back to their different jobs.
So no big sort of Crown Palladium job or any of that sort of business?
No. They're sitting in a private box here tonight at Simmons Stadium.
Geez, the boys will love that. I mean, I know the big nights are great for the club, but the boys themselves will love the fact that it's a low-key event.
Yeah, very low. And it's only players and the coach.
Ooh.
So I don't know if the assistant coaches got invited.
Oh, wow, okay.
Mm. Yeah, so it's just the coach and the players.
Well,
so,
Bill, we need to get to a song because I just need to hear this next. I don't think you're going to do it.
No, well, Jim, as long as you're mature enough.
No, it's not me.
I am.
It's you.
Now, Jim.
What?
I need you to be mature on this one.
Bill.
Jim.
Bill.
I want you to put on your big boy pants.
I don't condone anything that's about to happen.
Jim, have you got your big boy pants on? We're ready to go.
Don't look at me, Fat. Just get it right. Now, you just choose your words carefully.
Righto. Well, I was watching TV the other night, Jim, and I think this was on somewhere replayed again. Mm-hmm. And there was a cyclist. He was leading the Giro d'Italia.
Oh, I beg your pardon?
He's leading this race, Jim, over in Italy. And he had to actually pull over, Jim. Right. He had to stop.
What, he had issues with a tyre or a bike? Or
no, a bit issues with himself.
Right.
And he had to stop and
well, I think
drop
we've got some audio of it, haven't we?
Actually, it might say it better.
Yes.
Have a listen.
32 kilometres. Right. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Bike change. Real problems. And he's changing his jersey.
Oh,
Tom Dumoulin. Oh, no. Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Problems. And I wonder if this is one of the problems before. He needed a natural break. Obviously, our cameraman realised that. Panned away as quickly as possible. And at this stage in the race, Sean, he must be in dire need of that.
No, oh, no. Problems. Natural break.
Natural
and the cameraman
break.
Was onto him, Jim. The camera was onto him. And he just pulled down the pants. And he had to go, Jim.
Bill.
He had to go.
He pulled over.
Well...
So what are you saying here?
Well, who was your favourite king? Jim?
What? Henry well, for the sake of what you're saying, I'll say King Henry the Third. You are a fool of a man. What's the question you're asking? No.
Well, what's the same? Winnie the Pooh
Bill.
And Jack the Ripper?
What question
got
are
in
you
common,
asking?
Jim? They're both middle names. Is the Leroy, I hope you got your finger on the dump button.
Oh, I certainly do.
No, the question,
Bill.
Jim.
Bill, I can't believe I actually allowed you to do
Jim.
This.
No, the question being...
Listen, look at this. Look at the people looking through the glass here. They can't believe that this... It's a big city drive show.
Yes,
very successful. Rates up in the double figures. And you are going... Well, go on. What are you... Hands?
Hands. 1-3-3-5-3 hands.
Oh, what?
When did you have to pull over to do poop?
Oh!
Unusual!
Bill, you can't be saying
Jim,
that.
When did you have to pull over? Unusual,
Bill,
Jim. That's it.
Bill, I cannot believe Jim. This is what we're... No one will ring. We won't have one caller.
Well, yeah, sometimes when you've got to go, Jim, you've got to go. Now, we want the listeners to be mature and not carry on, all right?
The wording is, when did you have to pull over? That's
unusual.
It. Unusual. Bill, nothing else.
Nothing.
All right.
Jim, when you got to go, you got to go.
Bill.
But let's be sensible, please.
Oh, let's be sensible,
family.
You reckon?
Yes.
Yeah, no worries. All right.
You know what happens? We'll get in the poo, Jim. We'll get in trouble.
Leroy, turn him off. Can you believe where Topics has taken this?
I tell you what, it's a full board, Jim. It is a full board.
So the Giro d'Italia.
That's it.
Where the cyclist's leading and then had to pull over for a nature stop.
That's it, Jim.
So Bill's gone, hence... Mm. 1-3-3-5-3, where have you had to pull over? Unusual. I, Bill, had to pull over once.
You did?
I went, had a massive bet with Dennis Hickey, the man with the massive head who was in town just a week ago. We had to each run 5Ks every day for a year, 365 days in a row.
Oh,
and I went to do a game in Canberra. I went for a run, Bill. And as you know, that's just got roundabouts everywhere.
Terrible job.
I got lost.
Oh, no.
I ended up running about 8.5 instead of 5. And I ended up having to pull over behind the old Parliament House.
Oh, no, Jim.
Bill, I just couldn't. I had to pull over. And that's, I'm saying that because that's when I had to pull over, but also because that's how I want our callers to handle this topic of yours.
Well,
of yours.
As a friend of mine just texted me, Jim, if you drive up and down the Geelong Highway a lot, it does happen.
Oh, right. You have to pull over.
Thanks for that, Beck.
All right. Gary's in Sunbury. Hello, Gaz.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Just nice and classy is the way we want this handled.
Yep.
What happened with you?
A few years ago, we were living in Brunswick. I'm heading back from the city, and I only had about a K to go to get home. And I had to pull over. Right near Princess Park there, one of the real old buildings there.
Oh, yeah. No.
And had to rush in just couldn't wait. And as I was walking out, there's a bloke walking in, and he's gone, "Oh my God, father."
Who's pulled over in here? All right, Gaz, stay on the line. Jace is in Greensboro, Bill.
Well done. Good mature audience here so far. Jace, yes, please.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Good. Jace, what happened, buddy?
Oh, just going out for a family motorbike ride a few years back. Yeah. And it actually didn't happen to me. It was actually one of my cousins. And anyway, riding through the forest, there's about eight of us, a couple of dads and all the cousins. And anyway, the youngest cousin, he had to pull over, and no one knew why. He's in so much of a panic, and his motorbike's dropped, hit the ground. We're thinking, oh, yeah, what's going on here? Helmet's off. Overalls are pulled down.
Oh, no.
And obviously,
he had to pull over.
Yeah, natural.
He had to pull over. Oh, it wasn't until this point when he's looked down, he's realised his overalls actually had a hood on it.
Oh, no.
You can't imagine the rest.
No. Oh. Right, stay there, Jace. Cam's in Bendigo. Cam.
Yes.
When do you have to pull over?
I'm a local lad from Bendigo, and I was partaking in a fun run.
Yep.
And I hadn't been all that well for the last couple of days, got to be honest. And I was doing pretty well, not doing too bad. And then all of a sudden had this nasty sensation to go, right, I need to pull over and partake of the local facilities. And let's just say that I blew out my time by a substantial amount. I did not run a PB on that one, boys, I can tell you that much.
No, you wouldn't have. You
had the runs
for that. Ben's in Bundoora, Bill.
Hey, Benny boy.
Okay, Billy, JB, how you going, boys?
Hey, mate.
Oh, what happened, Benny?
Heading up towards the Dinnaloo Ute Muster, as you would know, Billy. And,
yes.
Saw like, a bit of traffic on the road leading into it and just had to pull over and no trees around and, found a nice prickle bush. Unfortunately.
No, thanks.
I hope you weren't drinking, what is it, that Bundaberg rum. That's no good for
No. Drink driving up there, mate. Right. Double demerit points on Denny weekend.
Righto, a double, actually. Brian's in Burwood. Bryce.
Bowie, boys.
Hey, Brian.
When did you have to pull over, Brian?
I had to pull up on the Monash Freeway on Cruising Home, and I spotted a witch's hat on the side of the road.
Oh, no.
Oh, you did not.
Come on, Brian.
And so I ripped my left boot off. I used my left sock. And left the witch's hat as a sock on the side of the freeway.
No.
Witches.
Come on. All right, Pete's in Eltham. Hello, Pete.
Jim, what kind of
talk? Hello, boys.
This is what you've brought to the table. Turn the radio down in the background there, Pete.
What happened, Pete?
Have we got you now?
Yeah, sweet. Yep. Used to do a bit of long distance running.
Yep.
And the first time I went out, had to pop over, pull over to the side of the road, didn't expect much of it. But every time after that, on the 2K mark, bang, had to pull over.
On the 2K mark, like clockwork, Jim.
Oh, come on.
Mate, remember poor old Matty Renshaw? He had to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
He had to run inside,
first
didn't
he? First test over in India. Stewie's in Sydenham. Hello, Stu.
How you going, boys?
Well, when did you have to pull over, Stu?
So I was camping last year with a few of my mates.
Yeah.
And we were about 10 minutes away from our campsite. And I've really had to...
Pull over.
Pull over.
Yep.
So I've dived in the water in front of all these campsites.
Oh, no.
Just went as far as I could. Went as far as I could. Done what I had to do.
Oh,
and you just see it floating down.
Oh, Stewie. Thank you, Stu.
A Chiquito.
Oh, no.
Oh, Stuart.
Oh, no. The James is in Brighton.
Oh, they're still
James
coming, Jim.
He'll class it up a little, Jimmy.
Hello, boys. How you doing?
You're saying it was the Babe Ruth rolling down the river there. James, when did you have to pull over, please?
When I was backpacking in Nice in France.
Yes.
And I was kept an eye out for a McDonald's, but I couldn't find one. So I ran into a fancy-looking hotel, busted through the door, and unfortunately didn't make it to open the toilet and walked out and realised it was the women.
That's not what we're after, Bill.
Listen to Jim.
That's not where we want to be. Oh, come on.
You came up with a topic.
Oh, I did. Did I?
I'm glad I'm not at work.
Have a listen to this. This is Bill saying, Jim, I've got Topics Brownless to look after this today. And when I heard what he wanted to go with, I said, Bill, we're better than that. Surely we're better than that.
Had to dump any yet? Leroy?
We're still on air, Bill.
All right. What are we dealing with?
Cockatoo will get a free kick advantage, will play on, has two bounces, burns away from Michael Johnson, inside 50, what's he going to do? Check side and straight through, the high, diddle, middle, what a goal!
Hey, before you introduce our fantastic guest there at Simmons Stadium, Willis, yes. You might have a late arrival at the inclusion at the 2007 reunion.
What's happened?
Gary Ablett out of the Gold Coast Suns team, recurring shoulder problems.
Yep.
So he has officially been tweeted by the Gold Coast Suns that he ain't playing.
Well, I wonder that, because he's the only one that hasn't turned or isn't going to turn up tonight for the reunion. So that'd be nice. That'd be a nice little surprise.
Imagine that.
Hey, guess who's out here? I'm just looking over the ground, Jim. Guess who's having shots at goal and kicking very, very high?
Oh, no. Big H,
look at him. He's just having plenty of shots at goal. Remember he said that? He likes to get out and have a few shots. And oh, he's kicking
them
too.
He's also thinking it's narrower right up the top, so he kicks it to the moon.
Well, I'm looking at that now. They are a bit narrow. We might ask our next guest, you're one of the favourites down there. Only played 28 games, Jim,
but
nice little glimpses of some rare form here.
Yes.
His name is Nakia Cocker 2. Or Nakia Cocker 2, even. How are you, Nakia?
Yeah, good, Billy. How are you?
Good, champ. You're all dressed up, ready to go. What about Harry Taylor? We're watching him now. He's a different cat, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not bad. He's one of the good cats, I reckon.
Yeah, he is. But he's got this theory, mate, that if he kicks the ball high enough, the goalposts are thinner at the top. Do you believe in that?
Oh, mate, I'll just kick goals. I don't really matter about
That's what I like about you. You don't even know what you're doing. When you kick that goal of the year nominee,
you called it round one, Bill. You said
I did. I might have gone a bit early. Yeah. When you had about four bounces down the wing, and then you ran around a couple, and then a nice little check side. Do you actually just do that?
I was trying to figure out what kick I was going to do. Yeah. Had a bit of time, so just went with the check side.
Beautiful, mate. Now, how are you? It's a big round for you. James Brayshaw's back in the studio. I'll introduce you to him in a minute, but it's just me and you here. Go, cock, cock, cock. Indigenous round, so it's a big round for you, mate.
Yep. Yeah, no, massive round, just with all the past players, you know. Mm-hmm. Indigenous players playing footy, so I guess to sort of put this round together for, guess, all the players and just a show of respect to
that's
how
right.
Gone past there.
And so what is your background? I think you're from Adelaide, but also up there in Darwin?
Yeah, all my family is from Darwin and Queensland. Like, on my mum's side, we're all from Darwin and Queensland. That's on my dad's side, all the Cockatoos. So, so we're pretty spread. Which is good.
It's a great name in football, Cockatoo. So all the boys like played at Essendon, and is it all those boys?
Yeah, like Michael Shea played at Essendon and then went to Port.
Yep.
Had Donald and David Cockatoo played
yes.
for Melbourne. And I think way back, my two uncles played for North Melbourne. Rodney and Robert Cockatoo.
Oh,
Cockatoo,
Jim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, way back, yeah.
There's Jimmy
that's
Brayshaw.
That's a long time ago. Even just get that camera swung around.
Hey,
Nakia, what you touched on there is one of the things I love about this round from the club's point of view, and I can talk to what happened at North Melbourne. I'm sure it's exactly the same at Geelong, and that is the Indigenous players have got a great understanding of the Indigenous players that had come before them at the club. And at North, it was always the Cracker brothers and Winston Abraham and Choppy Pickett, and whenever they were down, the current Indigenous players were just unbelievably brilliant with them, and there was this great bond.
Yeah, like, I guess any Indigenous player that play together in the same team, they all sort of know what they can do and what they can't do. So
And also the history of those, you know, the players that have come down from, you know, Western Australia and Darwin. And I reckon it's absolutely brilliant how invested the current Indigenous players are with the history of their game.
Yeah, of course. I know, like, watching Rioli play, he's playing some good footy, and I guess any Indigenous player that gets the opportunity to play footy is just like outstanding.
Who did you grow up watching? Because remember the Cracker brothers there at North? Yeah. They were just unbelievable. Nuts. So who did you grow up?
Well, I grew up barracking for Port. So
the Burgoyne.
Boys. So I watched, Burgoyne, Motlop.
Yep, brilliant.
My Uncle Shay a bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah,
Gav Wanganeen, they've got an amazing heritage over there. I reckon it's absolutely brilliant. So tell us a bit about the jumper you guys are wearing in this round. What has that got on it?
So it's got the Yu Yangs in the middle.
Oh, the Yu Yang. Yeah, so nice. That's like the, nice.
Kind of the main feature of the jumper, and then they've got the Byron River leading into the ocean, and just sort of around it, there's got like sort of little boomerangs around it, just for the people that are coming to the games and stuff, and all gathering together to watch.
Who puts that together for you? Do you players have any input, or is it, do you get someone to do it?
Nathan Patterson.
Yeah,
he's he designed the jumper for us, which is a really good jumper, and
yep.
I guess everyone's loves it, which is good, and especially us Indigenous boys, it's always good to wear a little bit of culture on out when we're playing out there, which is nice.
Tell you what they do, Bill, and that's fly out of the shops.
Oh,
all the clubs' Indigenous jumpers, there's bugger all left of all of them.
Yeah, exactly. I saw you had. Oh, Harry's just kicked one straight through the middle again. He's on fire here. you were down in the cat shop during the week, yourself and Motts.
Yeah, we were down just signing a few Guernseys and a few little cards, and yeah, it was nice. It wasn't a big turnout, but I think it was a school day.
How do you go with that, mate? All that now that you're a superstar and they all know you're down here in Geelong, and everyone would know you here, I assume.
Nah, it's not a superstar just yet, I reckon.
No, that's true. You actually a few more games, please,
yeah,
Cop.
Exactly.
Have you got some good mentors out there? Certainly Joel and Danger. I think Danger's taken you under his wing, hasn't he?
Yeah, I guess everyone sort of. Well, when I first came in, Joel, a bit of everyone just sort of looked after me, and then Paddy come in, and it was the same.
Do you just look at him at sometimes and go, how good is he?
Well, when he kicked the goal last week from the bloody pocket,
he's a freak.
He missed a couple of games too. You had the broken thumb. How's that?
The thumb is good. Had strapping on for a few weeks after I had the little cast off. Yeah. But it's going really well. Got a few knocks on it and
good.
It's all right.
And then
good.
Last week, what did you do? The hammy early, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was like the last 5 minutes into the first quarter. Felt it. Good. Had a little run today, and it's feeling really well.
Yeah, we might have to give it a couple of weeks. There's a bye coming up, and we'll just rest you, and then we'll come back after this break too, and after the bye too.
Because the wheels are needed, Bill. You need a little speed required at Geelong, and that's where this man comes into his own.
And hardness.
We'll take a little break. More with Nakia Cockatoo after this. Geelong young gun, Nakia Cockatoo.
Nakia, of course, is Egyptian. Did you know that, Nakia?
Oh, yes, I did. Did know that, yeah. It's interesting.
It means pure and faithful.
Don't know about that.
I should be called Nakia, let me tell you. Tell us about the first game of tonight, Jordan Kunico.
Yep, Jordan. I think he's been hanging out for a game for a couple of years now, and he's finally got the chance to show what he's got, which is good.
What's he do? Is he quick? Where's he play?
So he'll be playing on the wing tonight, and he's got a bit of pace about him.
Good.
You'll probably see it tonight.
Yeah, good. Looking forward to that. And, of course, it's a big reunion tonight, 2007. The boys won the premiership against Port. And how old were you in 2007, Cock?
Oh, would have been 10, I reckon. 10 or 11, yeah.
Yeah, so you were barring for Port Adelaide probably then when you got flogged.
Going for Port.
do you see a few of the old boys around? Have you seen them around? Do you know them?
I saw a few of the boys before, I think. Seen Mooney.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Bartell.
Just saw him before, gave him a good little wave.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So there's a few getting around. It'll be good to see them in the rooms beforehand.
Yeah, and then see him around on the trays.
Yeah, exactly, on the motorcade. So that'll be good. What are the new rooms like down there? I see there's about three different pools, and then there's a spa, and then there's a trampoline and a Pilates-type setup mat down there.
There's a bit going on in the recovery area. We've got an extra pool in there, and a few Pilates sort of machines floating about, so which is... good for... Who does Pilates?
I don't do them.
Hey, Bill.
Yep.
I can see on the sheet of paper I've been given here that Nakia's tracking square with the far too beautiful Heidi.
Heidi.
And the photo of the two of them heading down to God's Country, Port Fairy. When was this taken, please?
I think we had a little break before the season, I think, and we just went down to have a look at Port Fairy.
What a beautiful place that is, Nakia, by the way.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, really nice. Like good scenic views. Especially driving too on the ocean, Great Ocean Road.
You wouldn't have got out of the bloody room. What are you talking about, Cop? Hey? You go for a walk hand in hand down the beach, did you?
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Oh,
we
that's
did.
Nice. Now, Heidi from, mate?
Darwin, but she's born in Adelaide, but she calls herself a Darwin girl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so we've been dating for about 3 years, maybe years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
jeez, that's a long time.
It's good. Yeah.
Nicknames here, Jimmy. He's in the pocket profile in the magazine here today, the record.
The record, that'd be, Bill.
Yeah. What do you call it over in South Australia?
It was a budget in Perth, but it's a record here. Yeah,
yeah, it's a record, mate, not called budget.
Yeah, well, give it a name, Bill, it'd be good, yeah.
Nickname, Cocky, Cocker 2, Cocker 3, or what else are you called?
Nokia 64. Is that it?
Yeah,
that's it. My phone. Yeah.
The player you most like to watch, Cyril. So you're a big fan of Cyril's. You love Cyril, yeah.
Yep.
All-time favourite player, Tom Ruggles.
Tom Ruggles. I just love the way he goes about things, I reckon.
Oh. old ST.
Struggles. Your favourite city in the world to visit, London.
Yeah, I went there a while back for footy.
Yeah.
With our AIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we had a few. I think Isaac Heaney was there.
Oh, yeah, well,
With the AIS?
Yeah.
Your childhood hero, who's that?
That's like a little, it's a little cartoon he used to watch when I was younger.
What's he called?
Goku.
Goku, come on, it's cock.
little cartoon.
And your favourite sporting hero is Jason Day, and Jim's a big fan of Jason Day's too.
He's magnificent.
Mate, he's a... Hits the balls well. That's what he does. Yeah,
he's a jet, and he should have won the other day.
Bugger. What's on tonight?
Bugger at all.
What are you doing tonight? Where are you tonight?
After this, I'll head to the president's function.
Oh, yeah, well, big Barry Stanham's running that tonight.
Yeah, I'll say good day.
Yeah, that'd be boring. Don't worry, he'll put you to sleep. But anyway, you'll enjoy that. Good on you, mate. Thanks for coming on the Rush Hour, and good luck with the hammy, and we'll see you back out in the Cats colours soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Thanks,
good on you,
well done. Well done.
See you later.
Cockatoo star. Don't worry about that. In the making. Now, Bill.
Yes.
What we do now is finish this hour of the show with a joke. Anything?
No, I'm just working on one.
Working on one.
I've had to run the show from here.
Oh, yeah, no, you've been great.
I've done the whole show from here.
You've been amazing. Yeah. The best part of the show was about 4:12 to 4:30 when you were actually out of the stadium with the fire alarm. We're going to get to the joke next.
In the day with the laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Right?
Jimmy, poor old fool, thought the well-dressed gentleman as he watched the old man fish in a puddle outside a pub.
Mm-hmm.
So he invited the old man inside for a drink.
Yes.
As they sipped their whiskies, Jim, the gentleman thought he'd humour the old man and ask, "So how many have you caught today?" The old man replied, "Well, you're the 8th.
Oh, get it, Bill. Nice.
Not bad.
A little reversal one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Reversal one. A good joke. Good topic.
That's it. No, great topic. We've had great feedback on that. Old topics, Brownless.
Oh, the team are getting assembled here. Barry. Great name, Barry. Barry Dennis
here. The
people's
caller.
Nate Brown's here.
Fantastic.
Oh, he's just looking. He's got the form guide out. They're all ready to call this big game. It's the Mighty Cats taking on Port.
All right, we'll leave you all to do that as Plastic Bertrand just gets us finished. Yes.
Well done, Bill.
Oh, not really.
On fire today, Billy.
Come on, Bill.
Come on, Leroy. Hit the right button.
I will.
Finish up, Brownless.
Yeah, 2
Bill.
Todd from Bowen Head. Simmons is
here. Oh, good stuff, Todd.
David joint down.
That was the Rush Hour podcast. Sell your car the right way without the aggro. See how at sellmycar.com.au.